Welcome back to the Mike Shamari Show. My guests today are, yes, I said guests. It's the first in-studio interview I've done in all these interviews, and after doing so many interviews where I've interviewed musicians and people from other stations, well, just one. We're actually keeping it local here. This is in the family. This is the WCWP family. It's Jason Cascone and Darlene Johnson of So You Want a Job. How you guys doing?
Really great. Thanks,
Hi,
Mike.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
Oh, you're welcome. As I said, they host So You Want a Job, and I'm repeating myself, so let's just get to the questions because it makes it a little easier. First of all, tell us about So You Want a Job for those that don't know.
Well, So You Want a Job was started last semester, the spring semester, and we describe it as a fun and informative look at your career. We tackle everything from news about the job outlook for certain professions, interviews with local employers, faculty, and PEP staff, everything from job search tips, anything else job-related. We'll give actual jobs that are open now that people may want to apply to, and any other interesting articles that come our way.
It's actually interesting how it came about. We received a memo in our office from WCWP, as a matter of fact, Joe Manfredi, who offered airtime to faculty and staff here at CW Post and Long Island University. And oddly enough and strangely enough, you'd think people would want to jump at this opportunity, but we were the only people who actually came to the studio and requested some airtime. I guess what we do at our career office, providing information to people and helping them to succeed, is something that might translate well, because we had a lot of content just in thinking about what to do.
Or we're just hams and we're the only ones that wanted to be on the radio.
Yeah, no. Well, you guys work for the PEP office here on campus. PEP, for those that don't know, stands for Professional Experience and Career Planning. One of the things you do is career counseling. What's involved there?
Well, the easy answer is career counseling involves helping people figure out what they'd like to do for their career. So what types of jobs they might be suited for, if it's in college, what types of majors they might be suited for, and then how that translates into the work world. So what we really do is we try to help people understand who they are, understand the job environment and match those things, and then try to help them figure out a plan to succeed at whatever chosen career that they'd like to have.
Okay. Well, we're talking with Jason Cascone and Darlene Johnson of So You Want a Job here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. We will now go through the stages of getting a job. First is the job search. What can be done in searching for a job?
That's a great question. The first step, actually, is I think that people need to know what they want. There's a lot of jobs out there, so you need to be clear on what your own goals are. So if you want to be an accountant, is there a particular industry you'd like to be an accountant in? If you'd like to work for a hospital, is there a particular job within a hospital that you would like? So that can go into taking stock of your own skills and interests, personality traits, values, to really come up with a profile of the kind of job that you want, so you can start narrowing it down a little bit. Then you want to maybe do some research into that field, find out where the jobs are, how to get those jobs, as far as starting to look through newspapers, magazines for that industry, so try to learn as much as you can about that industry.
I think job searching in recent past has become complicated and less complicated at the same time. Once you do all the things that Darlene was talking about and you actually want to go out and look for a job, I think most people want to get online, go to monster.com or careerbuilder.com, start looking through the job sites and seeing what's available. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really just one small way to do a job search, and probably not even the most effective these days, because anybody, especially an entry-level person who goes on those sites and looks, they're going to realize that most of the jobs on there are looking for someone with 3 to 5 years experience, mm-hmm. 2 to 3 years experienced hires. If you think about yourself as a human resources professional and what you want to put your money in advertising toward, you're going to put your money toward the types of jobs that you're having difficulty getting resumes for. Those would usually be the ones that require a little bit more experience, which is why you're seeing a lot of those things. So while Monster.com and places like that could be good tools, it's certainly not the only thing you should be doing in looking for your jobs. Other things to do absolutely at the top of the list would be networking, trying to find people in your industry or networking through family members and friends, trying to ask them if they know of people that you can speak to in certain industries that could help you get interviews, or at least help you do informational interviews to get some ideas on how to on how to break into a certain field. Other things that we're seeing too is that companies, are, especially larger companies with websites, are becoming more savvy and putting their job postings on their own website, which means that for folks who want to work for these companies, they have to go to the website and try to figure out the way that the company wants to receive that particular resume, whether it's through an email attachment or through an online application. Mm-hmm. And what we're recommending to students, especially in those cases, is to do that, at least at first. Play the game, go through what they call the pipeline, and then try to make an end run around the pipeline and do a little bit more research and see if you can figure out who the human resource director is or the manager of the department that you want to work for, and send a resume directly to them as well. This way you're kind of doing a pincer movement, I guess, around mm-hmm. around the people who control the pipeline.
Right.
Play the game and then do a little bit more. And really that's what it's taking these days is doing a little bit more, a little bit extra than really what they're controlling you and requesting you to do. And that really does include, again, networking, which is so very, very important in the process.
Okay. Well, you mentioned resumes. What goes into resume and cover letter preparation?
Very good question. Again, first thing you really want to do is know yourself, know your key skills, your strengths, and your accomplishments, know what sets you apart from every other candidate. So you might want to actually write these things down before you even start trying to do a resume, because doing a resume can be a little intimidating. Mm-hmm. So maybe just write out some questions to ask yourself, write the answers. What are the things that I want my resume to say about me? What are the things that I want an employer to know about me when they read my resume? Think about things that you've accomplished. Even in a part-time job, if you are doing retail and you increased sales, or if you helped to make their computer system more efficient or their filing system more efficient, anything that you've done that shows accomplishment, you want to really focus on those as well. Focus also on what the needs of the employer would be. You know, think about what would an employer in this industry want. Good tip is, I think, if you look at want ads for those particular types of jobs, what are they asking for? And those are the things you want to make sure you illustrate very well in your resume. And then it's really just a question of knowing how to put it all on paper in a nice, easy-to-read format, free of spelling errors, free of typographical errors. Mm-hmm. Those are extremely important. If a hiring manager has a stack of 250 resumes on her desk, she needs a way to weed those out from the get-go. And if there is any sort of spelling or typographical error, you've just made her job that much easier, because she can throw yours out, and now she only has 249 resumes. So definitely have other people look at it. Have a career counselor in the PEP office look at it, because we do that all the time. We get resumes that are emailed to us, clients that make appointments one-on-one, and definitely have us look it over and make sure that it's easy to read, clear, and that it's really selling you in the best possible way.
Okay. We're talking with Jason Cascone. Well, first Darlene Johnson, who just spoke, and Jason Cascone. That's the first time I gave her top billing on the So You Want a Job on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. What skills should you have when it comes to interviews?
You need to be able to talk good. communication skills are obviously at the top of the list there. And just as Darlene was saying with the resumes, knowledge about yourself is so important. It's so key. Think about it. What are you going into the interview to talk about? Yourself.
Exactly.
And so know who you are. Know what you have to offer. Know what your accomplishments are. Know where you've been, and know how to talk about those experiences. These days, the type of interviews that most people will come across is what they call a behavioral interview. And these behavioral interviews are designed to elicit stories from you. Stories about skills and accomplishments that you've had in the past. So, for instance, an employer could ask you, can you tell me about a time when you had to work in a team situation? What was the goal, and what part did you play on that team? Obviously, you need to know a little bit about where you've been and your experiences, both possibly personal experiences and also work experiences. And please don't forget volunteer experience as well. So it's the entire package of who you are. Being able to explain how you've been successful in the past will allow employers to get a sense for how you might be successful in the future. So preparation about yourself is key. And the resume is something that can definitely help you with that. You know, I'm always struck by how the process of preparing to go out on a job search really builds upon itself. You start with the resume, which gives you an outline of your experiences, and then you write a cover letter, which allows you to write a little bit of paragraph about yourself, which could really help to answer that dreaded tell me about yourself question. And then you go into the interview, which takes it even a step further and gets more specific into your experiences and being able to explain the things that you wrote on your cover letter and on your resume. The other side of interviewing is also knowing about the organization that you want to work for. The organization that you're interviewing for, inevitably they will ask you the question, why do you want to work for us? You have to know. Most employers are giving no excuses to anyone for not doing research, especially because there's an internet. If you don't have internet access at home, your local library will have it, and you'll be able to go and do some kind of search, whether it's news or the actual website of the company, or both, mm-hmm. and absolutely get a sense for what you're getting into, who you're going to be seeing, what their mission is, and what your place might be in that particular organization. At the base level, without going into an hour's worth of workshop, those are the two things that you absolutely need to prepare for on your interviews.
Just to reiterate and build on something that Jason said, is very important to have examples of your skills. We really can't stress that enough. I think that's the number one thing that students don't do in their mock interviews that we do with them. You have to remember the interviewer is a human being. Yes, he or she is a human being.
Not a robot.
They get bored like anyone else. They hear the same things over and over. Tell a story. Give a really good example of a time that you used your creativity or your listening skills or your communication skills. I bet you when you leave, what the interviewer is going to remember is that story, because they can picture it in their mind, and you've just really illustrated how you've used a particular skill.
Okay. And believe it or not, this is the final question of the interview. What advice do you have for an up-and-coming broadcaster like myself that hopes to one day get a paying job in the business? Not that I don't like WCWP, of course.
Good question again. One thing we really want to talk about also is networking and how important that is, especially in a field like broadcasting, which is so competitive. Networking is really the art and the skill of knowing people, connecting with people. They always say it's not what you know, it's who you know, but it's a lot more than that. It's having those people know what you can do, what you're capable of. The way you can do that, there's so many ways. You can do volunteer work. You can join professional associations in your field, really making those connections. So if you need to, and I know in broadcasting, a lot of internships are unpaid. If you can afford to do that, do whatever you can do to make that happen. Because without those networking connections, you're going to be at a disadvantage. You know, obviously, keep up on whatever technical skills are out there. Very important if things are changing in that industry, broadcasting, any programs, any equipment, make sure that you're really up to date on what's going on there.
Yeah. I think the other thing is, especially if you live in the New York area, move. I know that that's not always feasible for everyone, but if you look at most of your major broadcasters, they've started out elsewhere in smaller markets. New York is a huge market. Everybody's coming here from all over the country trying to break into New York. You know, that goes for many of the major cities as well. If you have the opportunity to move someplace that's smaller where there aren't a lot of people going to, but there are broadcast stations, whether it's radio or TV, you might have a better chance of at least getting some experience on your resume. Then you can come back to New York. Then you can be discovered. And then you could certainly up your chances of becoming successful. I know a lot of people don't like hearing that, but I think that's the reality in broadcasting and some other industries as well.
Well, I'll give you an example of somebody who moved and now has a job that he loves in the field that he loves. Ryan Grabo, a friend of mine,
Ryan. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Ryan, after he did the last radio show with me back in June, he moved in July, and a couple of weeks after he moved, he ended up working for a TV station in Fort Myers.
Oh, wow!
I believe WBBH TV.
Uh-huh.
Yes, he's a production assistant there.
There you go.
You just have to keep your mind open to those opportunities. Mm-hmm. If you're really pursuing what you love, you have to really open yourself up to the fact that you may have to do something like volunteer or move or,
it's risky. And not a lot of us aren't risk takers. But there are some fields out there where risk taking can really be a benefit to you. And you should really consider twice, three times whether a move or maybe a parallel path is something that's going to help you in the future and to achieve your goals.
Okay. Well, Jason, Darlene, thank you very much for this interview.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having us.
Okay. And we'll be hearing you on So You Want a Job Wednesdays at 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Web Radio WCWP.
Great.
Yes.
We'll be right back on the Mike Shamari Show with more music.